Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you so much this night. Truly blessed be your holy name. You reign and you reign forever and ever. Father, we welcome your presence. We yield to your spirit, our teacher, the one who leads us into all truth, spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, we ask that you open the eyes of our understanding, even in this hour, that we might see and understand, O God, your covenant, and that you might give us our expectation as we trust you in this season, knowing that you are a God who never breaks covenant. Thank you so much for everyone on this altar. Thank you for the faithfulness, O God, and the commitment of your people. Father, remember us, O God, even in this season. Have mercy upon us. We commit this time to your glory and your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Frank. Thank you so much, our leader, Mr. Bailey. God bless you all on this line. To God, we give all the glory for his mercies anew every morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Today, I really, by the grace of God, we want to really look into a prophetic prayer that we can pray in the season. We have been praying and trying to understand the prayer of Moses for ourselves in this season. In Exodus 33, when Moses was seeking the face of the Lord about, he wants to know his ways so that he might know him. And Moses says, I also don't want to do anything. I don't want to take a step without your presence. And then that he was pleading with the Lord to reveal his glory to him. So as we have been praying in these three areas, God has been opening our spiritual understanding about his ways. And tonight we want to share one of the ways of God that once we understand this particular thing I'm about to share with you tonight, it will make a tremendous difference in the seasons of the Lord in our life. It will take our effectiveness in prayer to a totally different level. It will take our spiritual warfare to a totally different level, position in the area of victory. This is not the subject we want to look at tonight. It's not something you can cover in one night, but I pray by the grace of God we'll receive enough understanding to help us apply it in this very season that we're in. So we're going to look at tonight, we're going to look at covenant, you know, the power, you know, of covenant, just a little bit of the power, the mystery of covenant, especially as it regards to fulfilling God's promises in our life in due seasons. Amen. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Solomon was saying that to every purpose under heaven, there is time and season to every purpose under heaven. You know, so the everything God has spoken is aligned to times and seasons of fulfillment. But we want to see how this is related to covenant, it's related to mercy, it's related to the times of fulfillment, and it's related to the favor of the Lord. Favor, covenant, mercy are all tied together, you know, in many, many ways. So we're going to look at a few things, but let me also emphasize the reason for just sharing this today is because this coming Friday, okay, let me put it this way. I'm sure most of you already know this, there are two major kinds of tracking of time. There's the chronos, which is the chronological timing that we all live in. It was mostly established more clearly by the Romans. The time we look at now, January, February, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, the weeks, the months, and the years that we use today as our calendar, the world chronos. Now, that time, and that time is the calendar we use in everything we do in our current dispensation. Now, there is another kind of time which was clarified. It's always been there from the book of Genesis, but God defined it clearly in the book of Exodus to Moses. He says, beginning from the month of Abib or the month of Nisan, that is my time for you. This will be the beginning of month. And later God gave Moses what they call the feasts. And the feast, they govern the prophetic timing of the Lord for Israel and eventually manifested the prophetic timing for the birth of the church. So that time that God uses as his own calendar, the Hebraic prophetic calendar, is called the Kairos time. So the worldly calendar is called the Chronos, chronological. God's prophetic calendar is called the Kairos timing, the windows of God. So in the timing of God's calendar, with Hebrew or with us from the time of Jesus, this month that we are in, starting from the 9th of April, was the first day of the Hebraic month, of the first month. And this Friday is going to be the 14th of this first day of the month. And in the book of Exodus, God, and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, God told Moses that the 14th day is the day of Passover in the evening. And then there's Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the next day. And then, it just goes on and on from there to first fruits, and then up to Pentecost, what we call first fruits, and then it goes to Tabernacles, which is in the seventh month. So this Friday, thousands of years ago, before they came out of Egypt, this was the time God told Moses, this Friday, he says, you will sacrifice, you kill a lamb per family, and you put the blood on the doorpost of every house, because I am going to pass through that night, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So that was the Passover lamb, and it was this very same season, this season, the same timing, also Jesus died on this same Feast of Unleavened Bread. That night, Jesus, on the 14th day, Jesus took communion, what we call communion now, we'll look at it very soon, with his disciples that night. He was betrayed, and then the next day, which is in 24-hour interval, on good, what we call Good Friday, he died. He was crucified on that cross, so as the sacrificial lamb. So the difference between the old, what we call the Old Testament, and the New Testament is basically the covenant, is the blood. That is, the Old Testament was established by the bloods of bulls and goats, the covenant God made with Israel. Of course, he made the covenant of physical circumcision with Abraham, and then for the tabernacle, or what you call the Ark of the Covenant. The Old Testament was established with the bloods of bulls and goats, but the new, what we call the New Testament or New Covenant, was established with the blood of the Son of God himself as the Lamb of God that was slain. So the everything about the Bible is covered, the revelation of the whole Bible is really the blood. You know, even the foundation is covered in the covenant and blood covenant. So we want to look at how to apply this season in a prophetic way in our lives, especially this Friday, this coming, this Hebraic month that we're entering. How do we connect to this Memorial Day? So it's not just a ritual, but we are reminded of what God has done for us. But tonight, not only reminded of what God has done for us, how do we activate this season to help us receive some form of victory or breakthrough or fulfillment, or just God fulfilling things in our lives, or receiving some kind of favor or the mercy of God. So it's not just something that has happened in the past, but these windows are still very real today. So we want to look at a few scriptures, and those scriptures will help us to appreciate this coming Friday, what we need to do. Let me just go ahead and say it before, just in case. This Friday, based on what we're going to look at tonight, I will encourage you. I know some of you take communion every day or every week or every month, but this Friday is actually the memorial of it. It's not just a memorial, it's a command. God says you must remember the reason for this, you know, in your seasons. So remember to take communion this Friday evening based on the geographical location where you are time-wise. And let what you receive tonight, by faith, just allow God, pray into what you're going to hear tonight as regards to this season of Passover. Amen? Okay. The first scripture we want to read tonight is, we have quite a few. Let's just look at Exodus. Let's look at Exodus chapter 6. Now, the background for this is this. In the context of what we want to look at tonight, the background is that God gives promises, and the promises of God is the word of God, and God has vowed and interposed himself with his word. He says, by two immutable things by which God cannot lie, God has given promise to Abraham. Meaning, the word of God is forever settled in heaven. God has given his life to his word. So, and his word is his life. So, actually, let me just read a scripture here just to show the power of covenant in relationship to the word of God. Let me read to you Psalms 89. I read verse 24. Psalms 89. Verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. My covenant I cannot break, nor alter that which has gone out of my lips. Or, in other words, I cannot make false that which has gone out of my lips. So, now, as we look at Exodus chapter 6, the background is that God has spoken out of his mouth, like David is saying in Psalms 89, I will not break my covenant, or neither will I alter that which has gone out of my lips, will never be falsified. So, God, when Abraham encountered the Lord, God made a covenant with Abraham. And God spoke to Abraham in Genesis. And he spoke to him and he said, he will give him this very land that Abraham was Canaan as a promise. He will give it to his seed. And then God cut covenant with Abraham and establish that promise to him. But when he was giving this covenant promise in Genesis 15, he said something to Abraham. He says, your children or your seed, they will be in a strange land for 400 years. And after that, he will bring them to possess this place. You know, because the iniquity of the Amorites are not full. So God has made a promise to Abraham and his seed. So he's spoken it and it's irreversible. Whatever God promised, if you use the word promise, another word for whatever God has promised is God has made a covenant with that. The promises of God are covenant words. So God made that promise, that made that covenant to Abraham. But how do you know times of fulfillment? How do you really enter into it? When it was time, only God knew the time that he has set for this. Even though he's told Abraham 400 years, but nobody knew the season. So the children of Israel has been in Egypt now under the blanket of darkness for this number of time. And then all of a sudden, you know, Moses was, you know, was out of Egypt and God was preparing him. And then he saw the burning bush. And then God started speaking to him and said, now it's time to go back to Egypt. So when he got back to Egypt and started confronting Pharaoh, there was a confrontation going on. And Pharaoh was saying, who are you to come and tell me to let these people go? So there was a battle going on between Moses and Pharaoh. It's just this wrestling. But now God spoke to Moses to let him know clearly the reason and the timing and what is making God do what he's about to do. That it wasn't because of the children of Israel. It wasn't because of anything else. But let's read it, why he's come to save the children of Israel. Then the Lord, Exodus chapter 6 from verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established, you see, 6:4. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And verse 5, Exodus 6:5. And I have also heard, I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And the last, it says, and I have remembered my covenant. So two things are happening here. One, God is saying, I made a covenant with Abraham. And now we just read in Psalms 89, David received a revelation. God's covenant can never be broken because it's established by blood and God cannot deny his own life. So now he says, I made a covenant with Abraham, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's telling Moses. Then he said, I have heard the groanings, meaning I have heard the prayers of the people. And I made a covenant with Abraham, but I've also now heard the prayers, the groanings of the people, and now I have remembered my covenant. Now, if you study that word, remembered my covenant, the word remembrance, it's not talking about God forgetting. God does not forget anything. He knows the end from the beginning and the beginning to the end. It's impossible for God to forget. So he establishes covenant for us not to forget. for us not to forget. So what he was saying here is, when he says, I have remembered my covenant, basically saying, the time for me to fulfill that which I, the promise I made to Abraham has come. The time for me to fulfill that covenant has come. And then the word covenant in this place now is using the word covenant again, like the word mercy. Mercy is connected to covenant, because again, if you look at the when God told Moses to do the ark of the covenant, that ark of was established with blood upon the mercy seat. So when God says, I've remembered my covenant, now he's going to bring the people out, if you read further, out of Egypt. God is saying, I'm not bringing them out, and I'm not going to bless them and do all these things I'm going to do to them because of them. I am going to fulfill the covenant I made with Abraham. So I made covenant with Abraham. So the covenant I made with Abraham is what I'm about to fulfill to them. So if it has nothing to do with the children of Israel, that means now that generation of Moses, that generation of the children of Israel, are now going to inherit a covenant and the promise of a covenant. So whenever you inherit the promise of a covenant that somebody else has made, this is between Abraham and God, that means the generation that inherited, they receive what you call mercy or favor. Whenever you receive something that is you will never be qualified for, something you never work for, something that is not based on your righteousness or your effort, you receive it as inheritance, or you receive it as mercy, or another word is you receive it as favor, you know, the favor of the Lord. So basically God is saying, I'm going to show mercy to them now, or I'm going to show favor to Israel, meaning the time to fulfill the covenant I made with Abraham, because Abraham was found righteous for God to make that covenant. So that's one aspect. So when this battle continued between Pharaoh and Moses, in Exodus chapter 12, then God told Moses, he said, listen, you've been going back and forth with Pharaoh, with all these plagues, all these judgment, all these things. Now I am going to give you the last plague. This plague is going to be blood. It's going to be you're going to sacrifice a lamb. You're going to enact. You're going to remember. You're going to enforce the covenant. You're going to enforce this covenant. Basically, God has made a covenant with Abraham through sacrifice. Now, what the children of Israel are going to do, they are now going to enforce or establish themselves now the same covenant by memorial, so, or by remembrance. So it was not until after a lamb was killed in substitution for them, and the blood of that lamb was used as a memorial or a remembrance of a covenant people. It was not until after that that God brought them out of this place. And Pharaoh was judged, the people were judged, and there was a shift. There was a shift in their resources. In other words, God turned around and gave them the blessings of the wicked. God turned around and promoted them. God turned around and brought healing to them. God turned around and broke the power of principalities and the power of the Egyptian gods and the power of Pharaoh and his taskmasters. He broke it that night of the covenant and brought them out with not only victory, not only the fear of the Lord, but he brought them out with blessings. And as soon as he brought them out, they started seeing the cloud by day and the fire by night. They entered into a new manifestation or experience with the Lord. They entered into a new place of encounter with the Lord. They started literally seeing, for the first time in their life, they started seeing fire by night and cloud by day as the angel of the Lord led them through the Red Sea and into the wilderness. So it was totally a new beginning for them. So it was a transition, but it was a new beginning for them because of a fulfilling of a time of a season of covenant. Now, that is in Exodus chapter 6. Now, let's look at David was a man who really understood covenant. He killed Goliath because he understood he was of the circumcision and Goliath was uncircumcised. So he was a man who really understood how he had faith in covenant. And so in Psalms chapter 102, David knows how to pray into covenant season. So in Psalms 102, he used covenant as a way of prayer. 102 verse 13, David was praying. He says, "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time is come." If you study that word, "thou shalt arise," meaning whatever the situation was, it was a time of awakening. It was a time of entering into a place of demanding, into a place of inheritance, into a place of blessing, a place of remembrance. And says, "and have mercy." Then he's saying, it's not based on anything that we've done. It is based on the covenant you've made, the promise you've made. And he says, you're going to arise and you're going to have mercy upon us because of your covenant with Zion. For the time to favor Zion. Again, he used the word favor, meaning the time for us to receive inheritance, to receive breakthrough. Your blessing has come. Then he used the word the set time. That word set time there, if you study it, is the word used in Hebrew, is called Moeb. Is they call it the feast season or the appointed season or the set season or the due season or what they call the festival season or the feast season. It's Moeb, means prophetic season, Kairos moment. So let me read it again. "Thou shalt arise and have mercy on us, on Zion, for the time for you to favor us has come, your appointed time, your window of opportunity for us has come." In other words, like God spoke to Moses when he in Exodus, he was saying, "Now arise and go to Egypt." And he says, "I'm sending you to Egypt because I've remembered the covenant I made with Abraham and it's connected to the groanings of the people. The people are crying and I've remembered them. And now I will show them mercy. I will give them favor because of the covenant I made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So David here is clarifying that covenant times are fulfilling time, fulfillment time. Another example of that kind of fulfillment time is this. There was a man, that his name is Cornelius. He was in prayer in the book of Acts chapter 10. You see, he's a Gentile man, but he was faithful in fasting, in prayer, in giving. He was so faithful for a long time. He didn't know that his prayers have become, God has taken it as a covenant memorial. So when an angel visited him, he said, "Cornelius, your prayers, your arms have come up to God as a memorial." If you study that word, means as a remembrance. Now, for God to remember you, like it says, a book of remembrance, meaning that what you have done, God has made a covenant with it. He's found you faithful and he's covenanted, he's giving you a promise that he will bless you in due season. So he was saying to Cornelius, the time that God will fulfill your desires have come because God has received your prayers and your arms as a covenant blessing. So God visited him, and you all know what happened. He was the first Gentile to receive such a Gentile family in Israel to his family to be baptized at that level. Again, in the area of covenant, I want to read to you First First Samuel chapter 18. Okay, for time we might not read that, but what happened in First Samuel 18 was Jonathan was the father of Saul. Saul was the father of Jonathan, and David made covenant with Jonathan. Like you all know, God now has chosen David to be the king, but Saul was still reigning. So Jonathan made a covenant with David, and that covenant, two of them made a covenant towards their own family. So now I want to read something to you in 2 Samuel. As God, after David now has entered the throne of Israel, and David is now sitting on the throne, let me read to you 2 Samuel chapter 9. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" For Jonathan's sake. That word, some of you might have in your Bible where it says that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. The word kindness, if you study it, is the same word for covenant faithfulness. Some of your Bible might even say covenant faithfulness. So let me read it again. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him covenant faithfulness for Jonathan's sake?" So when David asked that question, it was because there was a conviction, an awakening in him. Now that he's king, he remembered the covenant he made with Jonathan, because that blood brought that covenant, he has to fulfill it. So he remembered the covenant, and he asked, "Is there not one in Saul's family that I might show them covenant fulfillment, that I might fulfill the covenant I made with Jonathan?" So they said, "Yes, there's one, Mephibosheth." You know that Mephibosheth was lame, and that was what disqualified him from being in the king's palace. They took him to Lodibar and hid him there because it was a disgrace. He was disqualified to be before the king's palace. So now, if you study the rest of the book, David's life, David had a problem with lame people, you know, in Jebusites. You know, he didn't like lame people. But because of this covenant blessing, this covenant, to fulfill this covenant, David had to overlook, even now that he's king, overlook any disqualification in Mephibosheth's life. The covenant made Mephibosheth qualified to be in the king's palace. He not only brought him to the king's palace, meaning the place where David is now ruling, but he gave him everything. Mephibosheth inherited everything that belongs to David, gave to him, that regards to his father, you know. So because of a covenant that David made with Jonathan, not with Mephibosheth, because of it, the covenant made with Jonathan, he qualified somebody that absolutely has fallen, and made the person qualify to be back in the king's palace. So what now happened, you know, using Mephibosheth as an example, a similar thing happened when Adam fell, the first Adam. And the authority and the dominion that was given to the first Adam fell. And man was disqualified, you know, and just like Mephibosheth, we just became totally lost in Lodibar, in the world system. But because of Jesus, Jesus now came, and I want to read this also to you. This is found in 1 Corinthians 11, and then we'll summarize this. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, The same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me, in remembrance of the covenant." After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, in my blood." That is the New Testament, the word of God with in my blood. "This do, and as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Now, here is again Jesus before he left. Paul is repeating, you know, what the encounter he had. But Jesus, before he left, this Friday, 2,000 years ago, sat with his disciples and had what they call the Lord's Supper. And he broke this bread and drank this symbolism of a covenant with them, a covenant symbolism with them. Basically, what he did was he went to the cross. This was what he was telling them. He went to the cross and with his own blood, what Adam disqualified us to have, he not only qualified us, but now he gave us in an inheritance. He gave us an inheritance, in inheritance through his blood. So we not only regain what Adam lost, but he took us to another dimension, to now that we are now joint heirs with him. We are now sons of God. We now have the very DNA of God, the spiritual DNA of God. We now, not only that, we have God as our inheritance. We not only that, on that cross, just like Moses did with blood of bulls and goats in Egypt, the blood of bulls and goats reminded Israel that it wasn't their righteousness, but that blood was the reason why God remembered the covenant he made with Abraham, destroyed Pharaoh's throne, brought them out of Egypt, gave them the wealth of Egypt, and gave them power to possess the promised land. So the same thing Jesus is saying, with his own blood, he now destroyed the power of sin, the fall of Adam, and not only that, he now turns around and restores everything that was stolen by reason of that fall. And now called us not only to be sons of God, but to be heirs with God. To be joint heirs, meaning rulers with him. You cannot rule unless you are a king. You know, that's why it says, God, you know, Revelations 1 and Revelations 5 says, God has now made us kings and priests because of the Lamb. So, meaning that word rulership means that dominion and authority has been restored through his blood to rule over principalities and powers, over Satan, over his angels, over everything that we lost through the fall. That is been established through the blood of Jesus, just like it happened with Pharaoh through the bloods of animals. So this is what has been restored. And so now the veil has been torn, and now we have direct access to heaven anytime we want as God's children. So now, as far as this this week, this how do you apply this covenant we have with God in seasons like this? Every day of our life, we have to remember this covenant. As often as we take communion, it reminds us. But every day of our life is not a covenant, is not a covenant faithful day, or what you call a covenant memorial day. Now, every day of our life, we remind God of what he has done. We pray, we seek the Lord, we apply to the level of the revelation we have. But there are certain days that we don't remind God. Heaven not only reminds us, but heaven begins to establish Or let me put it in the words God told Moses. He told Moses, says, I have remembered the covenant I made. I've come because I've remembered the covenant I made. I told you, God didn't forget. He's basically saying, I've come to fulfill. I've come to enforce the covenant I made with Abraham. You know, so there are days God does that. But if you partner with God in those days, you will experience, you have to experience what God is doing in that day. So every day of our life, we apply this covenant, we take the communion, we're walking with God. But like the Passover, that day is God's day of remembrance. Like the Day of Atonement is the God's day of remembrance. And all the feast days, these are God says, these are my set days. These are my appointed feasts. These are my days of covenant, promises. So on Passover, one of the way we can pray into the season or any other feast season, because those are God's days, is to pray like David did with Psalms 102 verse 13. Is to say, God, arise and remember. Or God, I submit to your covenant. Because I know this day you remember. Heaven remembers it. The earth beneath everything you've created remembers this day. So I want to connect to this day. And I'm asking you to show me mercy. Basically, you're saying, God, whatever disqualifies me from my breakthrough, whatever disqualifies me from your favor, whatever will cause me not to, or whatever is delaying or holding back my breakthrough, this day I'm asking you to show me mercy. I'm asking you to show me favor. Mercy and favor is you're saying, God, do this because of your covenant, and do this because of your favor and mercy. Do this regardless of my disqualification. Come true for me. You know, do this. So that's what God does on those days. If you look at the Passover, if you look at what Jesus did on the cross, it was all based on them, what the price they paid. So Jesus has made a covenant with us as his bride. On this Passover, you know, the break, that will be remembered in heaven, always celebrated in heaven. It's like a covenant day. So we on earth, that is a day we need to pray like David. So I want to encourage you this Friday, whether with your family or by yourself, or you just whatever group, or just however way God leads you, as you take the communion this Friday, just study Exodus and the privileges in the physical, what God did for Israel in the physical with the blood of bulls and goats. And then, using that, study again what Jesus did on the cross and what that represents to us now. Basically, you're making a statement and you're saying, Satan has been defeated. It can never be reversed. It's a victory that has gone out of God's mouth. It's a blood that has been shed, and that blood is still alive today. So there is no controversy. Satan is done as far as that blood is concerned. Now, how do I, through this blood, enter into a place of revelation where this becomes a reality in my life? How does this become a reality in my finances? How does this become a reality in my health? How does it become a reality in my marriage, in my children, or salvation of my family members? If you look at the Passover, look at Jesus, every of these things I'm saying have been given through this covenant. Look at Mephibosheth. Just Jonathan brought him with all his disqualification to a place of inheritance and a place of rulership on David's throne, eating the food that kings eat. So let this week remind us that we are royal priesthood. It's not a statement that looks and sounds nice in the Bible. It is an inheritance that has been given by the sacrifice of somebody else. And he's saying, all I want you to do is enjoy this privilege and make sure you experience it while you live on the earth. So pray and ask God to make this season take you to another level of the revelation of the exchange of the cross. He became poor that we'll be rich. He became, you know, he became a slave that, you know, to bring us to the restore our kingship. He died so that we can live. You know, just on and on the exchange that was done and how we can apply it. And then two, apply it in the area of any promise that God has given to you. Dreams, visions. Some of you have had visions and had dreams. Sometimes it's hard for us to know when these things are going to be fulfilled. Sometimes it's hard for us to know when some things will manifest. But one thing you can do, you can pray Psalm 102 verse 13 and just pray it in this season and just say, God, why can't it be now? Arise for your mercy's sake on behalf of this need I have. Arise for your mercy's sake on behalf of this dream you gave to me. Arise on your mercy's sake because of this word you spoke to me and give me mercy or show me favor like he did with Esther. So as you pray through this season, definitely God is going to do something. Whether it's the fulfillment of the dream or some part of it or something, but something will happen because it's a day, one way or the other, a covenant has been remembered in your life. But if you don't connect to it, you might miss it. So I encourage you this weekend to really take advantage of this understanding and pray into this covenant season. I have seen God use this since 2006, has done tremendous transformation from one thing to the other because of this. I know with all my heart, I don't know which of the promises, I don't know what God has, but I know that the mercy and the grace of God and the favor of God has prepared something in this window that must be released into my life or your life. So take advantage of it. Amen. Father, I thank you so much because you are a God of covenant. You have made covenant because it's your wisdom to preserve us and to overthrow anything the enemy has already put in place to disqualify us. Father, covenant is your wisdom to make sure we never are disqualified. It's your insurance for us. It's your wisdom. Father, I thank you for this covenant of the blood of your Son. And I thank you that your promises are yes and amen. And in this season, God, I pray that you will remember us and your mercy and your favor will invade our lives. Let a promise, let something pertaining to our lives that our ears have not heard, our eyes have not seen, that you know, Father, that something has to leave heaven into the physical world in our personal life in this season. Let it be so in everyone's life. And I pray that as your people wait upon you in this season, that the blood will speak over them pertaining to this covenant and the privilege we have through the shed blood of your Son. I thank you that this season will not leave anybody with unanswered prayer. We give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.